Hello everyone and welcome to this short session on credit control and debt recovery. You may already have heard about Cintons or heard presentations from some of my colleagues, so I apologise in advance if I'm repeating, but just a little background about us. Cintons are an all-service law firm with offices here in Newcastle and in York. We have had a presence here in Newcastle since 1896, and although, as you can imagine, the firm has seen a great deal of changes over the years, our values and commitment to bring a first-class service to all our clients remains steadfast in all that we do. I guess that is why we have such a large percentage of our clients who come back to us time and time again and refer their family and friends to us. So I am Alison Thompson, and I'm the head of the debt recovery department here at Cintons. My background is, just a little bit of background, is that I've worked in the legal sector since the 1980s and owned my own debt recovery business before joining a national firm where I also headed their debt department for several years. I then took a short career break and then returned to the legal sector. The debt recovery team itself is a relatively small team, but with a vast experience of both direct and volume recovery work. And because we are a small team and we have streamlined bespoke systems, this means that we are able to keep costs down for our clients. But we are very lucky to be supported by a large dispute resolution team whose expertise and experience varies tremendously. So at times where we do have complex disputes arrive, we do have their support, which is invaluable. So for the purpose of today's session, I'm going to assume that you are all either startup businesses or established small businesses. And I'm going to split the session into two areas. Firstly, we're going to talk a little bit about credit control and how important that is to your business. And secondly, we're going to take a little whistle stop tour around debt recovery, recovering your invoices and a little bit about the recoveries through the legal route. Some of the areas we're going to touch on are what you need to consider when looking at good credit control and knowing your customer base, as well as having the right terms and conditions in place. Ultimately, good credit control means good cash flow, enabling you to pay your bills on time, which then avoids having someone like me chasing you for payment. We are also going to look at what steps you can take to recover any invoices which you are owed, and if they do go unpaid, what the legal steps could mean. Credit control is much more than debt collection. Credit control is the process by which your small business can ensure that you only give credit to customers or clients who are able to pay you, and that when they do pay you, that they pay you on time. And that's just a little quote that I came across there on screen for you. Sorry about that. Clicked the wrong place there. So credit control is invaluable, but let's be honest, who pushes this task to the back of your to-do list, especially when you're first starting up your business? Credit control is described as the management of debts of the business, but good credit control is much more than that too. It's assessing new customers, new credit requests, doing checks, credit checks, deciding whether or not to allow credit to a customer, and considering what credit limits you provide to customers, as well as the ongoing review to existing customers and their credit worthiness. Credit worthiness can change regularly, so it's worth keeping a review of that. So some tips for good credit control. Always invoice on time and to the right person and the right address. You'll be surprised how many queries we get where invoices have simply been sent to the incorrect address. You should state your terms clearly on all your invoices. If your payment terms are 28 days, then say so on your invoice. Provide no opportunity for confusion. Consider asking for deposit payments. Where possible, meet your customers or clients, and I appreciate with COVID that has been very difficult, but if you are in a sector where you're able to meet customers, then try to do that. check your debtor list every month and be proactive. If your terms are 28 days, then actively start to recover on day 29. Chase for payments by telephone, email, letter, and in person. Don't be afraid to ask for your cash. It's your cash and it could be the difference between your business survival. And even consider dropping reminders, say 7 days before your invoice is due. It might be worth dropping an email just to warn clients and just a little timely reminder that payment date is coming, looming forward. And think before extending credit. Always consider the potential of not getting your money back. Why is this customer asking to extend their credit in the first place? There might be very good reasons, but it might be also be that your customer is in financial difficulties. So think about that. So is this all rocket science? Well, definitely not, but I also appreciate it's not always easy and it can be time consuming when you have so many other things to think about. But I cannot stress too much how vital it is for a financial healthy business. So knowing who you are doing business with, it's very easy to accept a new customer, new job, a new instruction, especially in the formative months and years of your business. And you're just keen to get business off the ground without really taking a step back to consider who you're doing business with. And you might say to pick and choose is a luxury, but knowing your customer is vitally important when you want to protect your own business. Doing a little background checking and where possible credit checks gives you the ability to look at whether the customer will have the ability to pay you. Think about the customer's request. Is it a strange one? Are they asking for unusual payment terms? Like everything else in life, if it sounds dodgy, then it probably is. Speak to other businesses who you think may have done business with this customer. If your new customer owes debts to someone else, it's highly likely they are not going to pay you. So do as much as you can to find out about them. If they have a reputation for being a bad debtor, bouncing payments, then don't give them credit. Your customer should not mind these checks being undertaken if they are genuinely want to work with you. But should you refuse to do business with them outright, or are there ways that you can protect yourself? Well, yes, I believe there are ways, and you can create specific payment terms to protect you, which leads nicely onto payment terms. So payment terms, why bother? Well, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you put in terms in place that are going to protect the profitability of your own business? The average payment terms for business-to-business invoices are 30 days. This is a default position where no payment terms exist, but you can decide and set your own payment terms. It's entirely up to you and should be determined by what's best for your business and your business cash flow. Choosing the right payment terms is a big decision and can influence the success of your business, particularly in your early years of trading. Choosing the right payment terms has a direct impact on your cash flow. Unless you have cash-only terms where there is no delivery of goods or services without payment beforehand, then most other forms of payment terms sees you providing credit to your customers. And of course, one of the effects of providing credit is that you often need to remind your customers to pay you. Unsurprisingly, having defined payment terms becomes vitally important if you have a customer who is not paying you what they owe. There are a number of different ways that you can request payment of your invoices, and the most common method for business is net days. This is when, within your invoices and written payment terms, you expressly state how many days after the date of the invoice the payment is due. You can choose whatever term you like, 7, 28, or even 60 days. But as I've said, usually 30 days is the standard. Unfortunately, some customers will always leave it till the very last day of your payment terms before they settle your invoice. So as an attempt to avoid these circumstances, we often see businesses consider offering an incentive for early payment. There is nothing to stop you doing that. And by way of an example, you could set your standard payment terms are 30, but then offer a small discount if the invoice is settled within, say, 15 or 20 days. This is particularly helpful if you need to improve your cash flow within a short period of time, you can choose whatever discount amount and time frame that suits you best and suits your business best. If your business sells physical goods, then you may want to consider terms where you say cash on delivery or by taking a deposit payment when the customer places an order, followed by the balance on delivery. Taking a deposit at the time your customer places an order can also be a useful measure to avoid the cancellation of orders. This is commonly used in non-refundable deposits, but again, it must be a term which suits your particular business. And if this is your chosen term, then please do ensure that you clearly communicate this to your customer so that they are aware. It is vital they understand that it is non-refundable. These payment terms are just some of the different ways that you can instruct customers to pay their invoices, and there are many variations available to you. And obviously, after your chosen payment term has passed, if the invoice has not been settled, then your customer's account will become overdue. It is important to consider the impact that each type of payment term will have, not just on your business, but also your customers. It might be that you decide to try different methods with different customers, which is absolutely fine, as long as you communicate this effectively. Again, making it clear to the customer. Providing your customer with clear payment terms so that your customers know when to expect invoices to be issued and when you expect them to be paid will help you avoid late payments and dispute with your customers. I would also strongly recommend that you include information to your customer on how much interest or late payment charges will be applied to an account if they fail to pay your invoice on time. If you suspect someone may be a bad payer, ask for payment upfront or payment on delivery, and never ever leave goods on a pay on delivery term with a customer without collecting payment. Be clear and precise about your payment terms, and whilst implied terms can work very well in other areas of your business, it is not suitable for payments. And if you do find yourself in a situation where you need to take legal action to recover a debt, then your payment terms will be relied upon. So I hope you can see how knowing your customer, having the right payment terms, and effective credit control all links together and can provide you with a far better chance of making your own business financially stable. But what happens if your customer does not pay you? Well, if you've exhausted all the chasers, telephone calls and emails, then unfortunately it's time to accept that you may have to go legal to recover what is owed to you. There are specific pieces of legislation which dictates the procedures to recover your invoices. These are called the pre-action protocols. These have been developed over recent years, and the protocols encourage parties to settle at an early stage in the hope that you do not have to go to court. When you do have to, doing so does not mean you have to spend a small fortune. Firstly, I mentioned incorporating into your payment terms the right to recover interest and reasonable costs if an invoice is overdue. But if you do not have these terms in your own terms, then there is also legislation which can be relied upon to recover your costs. This legislation is on screen now, and in most cases concerning business-to-business transactions, you will be able to charge interest under the Late Payment of Commercial Debts Interest Act 1998. This legislation provides for business supplying goods or services to another business the ability to charge interest on their overdue invoices at a rate of 8% above the current Bank of England base rate. Interest runs from the date the payment became overdue until full payment is made. And a point to note here is that the base rate does change, so it's worth checking as you can only charge the rate which is applicable at the time. By way of example, the current rate is 0.1%, whereas between January and February 2020, the rate was 0.75%. It only takes a few moments to check the Bank of England website and will stop you falling foul to an incorrect claim to your customer. I've popped a link to the Bank of England website at the bottom of this slide. This is where you'll find a history of the base rates over recent years. So in addition to interest, the Late Payment of Commercial Debts Regulations came into force in 2002, which applies to contracts entered into after August that year. It provides you with the right to charge collection costs on overdue accounts. You have the right to claim these charges once an account has fallen overdue, and the amount you claim depends on the amount of the invoice. The charges are on a fixed scale and are set by the late payment legislation. They are, however, chargeable on each and every invoice which is overdue, which means that if you've got four invoices, say at £100 each, then each of those invoices attracts a collection charge of £40 each, which provides you with an additional sum of £160 in collection charges that you can charge to your customer, in addition to the principal invoice sum and interest. So you can see how these additional charges can impact the sums being demanded from your customer. By making it clear to your customer in your terms that it is your intention to pursue recovery of these additional charges, this again is some incentive to your customer to pay on time. The late payment of commercial debts regulations were updated in 2013, which saw the fixed sum rates retained, but also introduced the ability to recover reasonable costs that exceeded the fixed sum. Beware of this, as not everyone's view of reasonable is the same, and if you were to end up before a judge, they would scrutinise this element very carefully indeed. And at this point, I do just want to make you aware of the Limitation Act 1980. Section 5 of this legislation dictates that if an action is not brought within 6 years of the debt falling due, then it will be barred and you will be unable to recover it. Although I cannot imagine a circumstance where any of you would wait that long to recover an invoice. And I would have, of course, just mentioned that whilst this session is focused on what steps you can take if you are owed money, remember that equally, you will be subject to these terms and this action in the same way, and the late payment terms by your creditors if you are late paying your invoices. To adhere to the pre-action protocols, there's a slide on screen now which talks about the letter before action. We more commonly refer to this as the LBA. There are strict rules around drafting this correspondence, and if not followed correctly, you may lose the opportunity to recover your debt. So this is the first letter that you'll send to your debtor asking for payment before you commence legal proceedings. You must provide a clear summary of the facts and provide a basis on which you're making the claim, saying why you believe the debtor is liable to pay the invoice or the debt. And beware that there is different protocols when sending an LBA to another business compared to an individual or a sole trader. The debtor is provided with a set response time, but these can be extended if they raise a query or request documentation from you. So you've reached a point where you have tried the LBA and complied with all the pre-action protocols correctly and your debt is still not paid, then you are faced with issuing court proceedings to recover what is owed to you. I'm not going to discuss the Money Claims Online procedure in any great detail. Money Claims Online is an online portal for starting very, very simple court claims. It is an alternative to the more traditional method of issuing a claim form, and there are a number of differences between using the Money Claim Online service and issuing a claim in the county court. So focusing on what I'm calling the more traditional method today, proceedings are generally started in the county court. The claim starts by completing a claim form and sending this to the court with the court fee. The court fee and a fixed amount of costs is added to the debt and therefore recoverable from your debtor. So in fact, at each step and stage of the recovery process, fees can be charged back to the debtor, which is another reason to encourage early settlement of a debt. Virtually all small claims now have to be issued out of a central court office, which is based in Manchester. The claim form should be accompanied with your particulars of claim. The particulars of claim should provide the details of what the claim is about and what you are asking the court to order. What is included here depends very much on what your claim is about, but the court does expect at the very least for you to set out a brief statement of the facts and how much you are claiming. Particularly if you are claiming interest, refer to your terms and provide a breakdown. Once the claim is issued, the defendant is provided with 14 days from the date of service of the particulars of claim to file their defence, which is a formal way for them to respond to the claim. And note here when I say that this date is the date of service, not the date when the court was issued, when the claim was issued by the court, sorry. If the defendant files an acknowledgement of service with the court, then this extends their time to file their defence to 28 days from the date of service of the particulars of claim. If they file a defence, this then launches the formal court process, which can often see us proceed to a trial. If the defendant does not file an acknowledgement of service or fails to respond to the claim whatsoever, then you can ask the court to enter judgment in default. And this is what we more commonly know as the CCJ. Of course, the CCJ in very stark terms is simply a piece of paper. And again, does not in itself force your debtor to pay what they owe. And you have to then look at enforcement. There are several enforcement options, and choosing the right one will much depend on your debtor and their circumstances. For example, if you know the debtor owns a property, then it's worth considering a charging order against the property. Or if you know they have assets which can be removed and sold to repay the debt owed to you, then you would most likely consider instructing a High Court enforcement officer. Historically, these are known as bailiffs, but were renamed a number of years ago and are now just known as enforcement officers. If you're unsure where your debtor's assets lie, then it would be possible to make an application to the court for an order for your debtor to attend court for questioning. This forces the judgment debtor, to attend court and answer questions concerning their finances and assets. And if they failed to attend, then a warrant would be issued for the judgment debtor's arrest. We can also look at insolvency procedures. These can be used as an alternative to a court claim, but this type of action sees an individual made bankrupt or a limited company wound up. In many cases of enforcement, again, the court fees and fixed charges are added to the debt. So again, the debt continues to rise until full payment. So I do appreciate that that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour around credit control and debt recovery. I do hope you find some of it useful and want to just end with this very simple quote that you see on screen. I came across this, but I think this does resonate with all entrepreneurs starting out on your own business, irrespective of what business sector you're trading in. And of course, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me or any member of the debt recovery team here at Sintons. You can, of course, follow the team on our various social media pages. Please do give us a follow. And we do post regular updates and articles to our website and all our social media channels. So many thanks for your time today, and I hope you enjoyed the session. Thank you.